This is the March 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 435 for property ID 19766700. The property is owned by Mohammed and Faiza Hassan. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Gloria Matthews, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Linda McLean and Nick Detheridge here for the assessor's office, and we do have Mohammed here for the appellant. If you could each raise your right hands now to be sworn in, if you wish to speak at this hearing.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. We'll get a written response from this board within 30 days after this. You get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And I said January 1st, in the case of your construction, it goes through to July 31st. So, Mr. Hassan, I will let you go ahead and tell us about your position on this property.
So I have submitted my position already. There is a lot bigger, a lot better house in Clark County. It's assessed at a lot lesser value than my house is, and my house is not even complete yet. So my take on this that the assessor's office is not being fair with me, I do not know what the reasons are, but I, for some reason, my property is not even given an occupancy permit yet. It's not fully finished yet, but my property, my house is appraised or assessed at a very high taxable value, and they are making me pay all this tax, extra tax, maybe some sort of I'm being penalized or, you know, punished for something. So I don't think it's fair. And I did submit my, the exhibit, my, I guess, evidence already. So I think I request the board to look into that exhibit I submitted and reduce the value of my house to the recommendation I mentioned in that exhibit. That would help, and I think that would be fair. The house is still not completed yet, and it's not occupied yet, and I still don't have the occupancy permit on the house yet. So I would request the board to lower the value to the recommended value I submitted earlier.
You're talking about the house that you got the Zillow information on in your appeal?
Yes, that's the one.
And is it completed?
The Zillow's house, the advertisement, that's a fully completed house. And I also submitted this tax assessed value. And it's a very big house with a swimming pool and everything. And the owner of that house is trying to sell his property. But his tax assessed value is less than what my tax assessed value is, even though my house is not even fully finished. There is no swimming pool in there. There is not that good quality of finishes in my house. But my house is priced at a very high value.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we've set this value last year at $2,597,000, is that correct?
Yeah, last year you guys agreed with whatever the value assessed by the assessor's office. This year, I'm making another request. In the meanwhile, the assessor's office have also increased the value of the house, even though there was no significant improvements done there on the property, but the value has been increased consistently every year. This Linda and Nick, these two people, they just constantly increase the value of the house. And even though there's no improvement, no nothing, you know, they just like to have this house assessed at a very high value. So I can end up paying a lot higher taxes than what I'm supposed to.
Allison, didn't we adjust this last year?
Yes, we adjusted it to the recommended lowered value the assessor's office offered for the point of completion. I can't remember what point of completion they were at, but that was the reasoning.
Okay. So let's hear from the assessor's office.
Good morning. Last year we had the home at 85% complete, and we changed it to 88% complete this year because there had been some work that was done. We do acknowledge that there's still additional work to be completed. The flooring, trim, some finishing details. We raised the value on the guest home to 90% complete. The home is at 88 due to the fact that there is a lot of work in that structure that's also been completed. He now has the outdoor living area on the home, which has got a barbecue. There's a sink. There's a convection oven. I believe I included some of those photos in my submittal. The deck at the back of the home has heaters installed in the ceilings. There's a gas fireplace. And we do, when we increase percentage complete on a home, and due to the fact this is such a large home, you do see a value increase. And we are scheduled to go back out there this year and see if he is complete. I do know that his building permit did expire in December, so we'll keep coming out there until it's complete, but we will raise it incrementally as it's got more in stuff complete to it. We're not going to automatically put it to 100 just because his permit is no longer something that we is still active. And last year there was a decrease in the value due to the fact that when we got out there and did an interior walkthrough, we saw that the quality of construction was not what we originally had inspected to see based on the exterior of the home. So we lowered the quality of construction, which lowered his value, which is why we recommended lowering his value last year. And then the home that he submitted as a comparable is 6,500 square feet with a 3,100, almost 3,200 square foot daylight basement. And yes, it has a pool and a pool house. It's in a subdivision in Lacamas Shores on 0.47 acres. Now, this home is on quite a bit larger acres. It's on 9.97 acres. So you're gonna have a larger value. We do realize that the home is not all flat. But it is being valued. I'm bumping over here really quick. We have 2.63 acres of it is flat. We're recognizing 6.62 acres of that as low, which means it's a lower rate per acre. And then there is also a 0.72 drainage easement on this property, which carries zero value. So we are accounting for the differences in his home not being complete and the fact that his land is not, you know, all flat and usable.
So the land also has a lot of wetland related issues.
That's covered in our low valuation. we're not recommending to adjust the value any lower than what we have it at, based at, based on his percent complete of both structures.
And you're valuing it at what, 88 or 90% complete?
The home itself is valued at 88% complete, and then the guest home is valued at 90% complete.
So it's somewhere north of 88, right?
Yes, sir.
So the total value of the property is going to be valued at over $3 million after it's completed?
Based on looking at it at this moment, possibly. I don't know what putting it to 100% complete would do. I don't like to go in and mess with square percent complete when it's still an active working in case there's some weird thing that happens. You know, each year we look at our sales, it might be tweaked more, you know, up or down based on our local cost modifier and the sales studies we do for those particular areas. But yes, I would guess that another $200,000 is going to at least be added on to that for the percent complete.
If I take the $2,000,003 that you valued at now and just divide it by 0.88, I get to 2689. And add it to the property value, you get over $3 million.
Okay. I haven't gone in and played with that per se. And that, and you know, the, and this is the 24 for 25. So we will be back out there again, 25 for 26, where you would see another increase. Yes, sir.
Were you, did you have access to the interior of the property? I guess you've,
yes, sir. He allowed Nick and I to walk through the property.
Yeah. And the guest house is the one that's off the corner of the property, if I look at the picture?
Yes, sir. It's a one bedroom. It's got a kitchen. There's a family room with a three-sided type of fireplace with a little small dining eating area.
Okay. Anything else you need to add?
No.
Okay. Mr. Hassan, do you have anything else you want to say?
Your Honor, I just don't understand why this particular, I guess my point of concern is, the house is not complete, and what Linda is saying, the decks are finished, or the exterior kitchen, in one of these meetings, she indicated the outside improvements like decks and like building a concrete driveway that has no bearing on the value of the house. I mean, now she's saying she went there this time, she just looked at the decks and some outdoor kitchen, which is not has no, I mean, it's not inside the house. Anything built outside the house, she indicated would not change the value of the house, but now she's just going there and she's trying to find anything which is not even should be included into the value of the house. She's just using it and just picking a number from the air and increasing the value of the house. And I even asked the assessor's office to assign somebody else to my property, but for some reason this assessor is taking too much personal interest into this property and making sure she stays on the case and making sure that I pay a lot more than what I should be paying.
I'd like to address that outside area. I was only commenting on that. We have what we call an outside living area when there's a kitchen area. We are not carrying any value for his outside living area. It was only a comment that he had said before his decking and all the exterior part was not complete. I'm just mentioning the fact that it isn't, in fact, has other attributes that have been added to it at this time.
Yeah, but he's increasing the percentage of complete just because there is some decks or some exterior work done. She increased the percentage completed. And I don't think the percentage completed changed much, but she just go there and increase the percentage completed so she can increase the value of the house for no reason. If the property I submitted, the house in Camas, you know, that is like a 10,000 square feet house with the basement and everything. And it has a less assessed, tax assessed value than my house is. And it's in a neighborhood, in a very exclusive neighborhood, very expensive neighborhood. And I am living in a bad, not a real neighborhood. And for some reason, my property value is a lot higher than a house which is in a very exclusive, gated neighborhood, very high-end neighborhood.
The way we value basements is they are valued at a lower dollar per square foot than above ground. There is 6,000 plus acre square footage above ground on that particular home you're speaking of, and the 3,195 square foot basement is not valued at the same amount. So when we look at that property, it's 6,200 square feet, and the basement is a lower value. We do add the square footage if there's additional bedrooms or bathrooms. Those are included in the home's value, but it is in a subdivision, which is valued differently than acreage. And I mean, that's really all I can say about that. And the reason I'm continuing to be assigned to this is my physical revaluation area for the home. I've been doing this area for probably 3 revaluation cycles, which is over 10 years. So I'm familiar with the area, and I was physically out there the first time during new construction. So I'm just continued to be assigned to this particular home.
Is this one that he's given as an example, is that one in your valuation?
No, I valued an acreage neighborhood in Battleground, Brush Prairie. The home he's talking about is in Camas, and that was not my assigned area to value. No.
Got it. All right.
I guess I have just one question. The amount or the items that are unfinished in this home, are we talking about substantial unfinished, or is it kind of more of a minor unfinished as to when will it be occupiable? And, you know, are we kind of a timeline? What have we got there?
So are you asking this question, me or Linda?
Well, both of you, I guess. When do you think it might be occupiable? And according to the assessor's information from looking at it, what would they have an indication of, you know, when it might be able to be occupied? How much is left in there? A lot of,
small. There's a lot of work left. I mean, I don't know how this expert, Linda, came up with this 88% stuff. You know, she's picking up number from air. I mean, when she visited the house, I mean, there was no flooring done in the house. It was just a bare plywood floor. And there was like a lot of work need to be done. I don't know how she see it 88% complete. But anyway, I mean, she just love to increase the value of this property. That's like her thing. And she is, has, I think it's all baseless increase. And I'm just being a victim of all this, what she is trying to do.
Nick, I saw your hand raised earlier. Did you want to speak as well?
I was just going to say, I mean, we're not picking numbers out of thin air. We changed the percent complete 2% on the main area from 2023 to 2024. We have a percent complete calculator that we use. There's no reason to change Linda out from this area. She's very familiar with this area. She's been a lead appraiser for 30 years. The opinion of value wouldn't change from appraiser to appraiser. It would go off of our cost model. We're on a cost-based model of the cost of the improvements plus the value of the land. Just because the improvements are not 100% complete does not mean that there's not value in a class six house of this size. It has siding, it has electricity, it has paint, it has texture, it has fixtures, it has detailed work, and we're not saying it's 100% complete. However, if it were well-funded and on target for completion of the permit, as Linda mentioned, the permit date has already expired, it would be very quickly finished. I admit that the construction is dragging along, but that doesn't mean that it's because there's so much work left on the house. It's just how the project's being managed. I believe 88% is an accurate percent complete for the home as of the last time we were out there, and we'll visit it again for 2025. That's one of the reasons why Linda didn't estimate like a value of it being completed, because that's done from year to year, and this is a 2024 appeal. So we're talking about the percent complete and value as of July 31st, 2024.
So you're looking at 80% is a figure that you're using at the present time on that, huh? On it, 80% complete?
88.
Okay. All right.
Is it 88 or is it 88.5%? I mean, seems like these guys have these numbers, exact numbers, based on some calculator, and that calculator only assessor's office have. I don't know what the scientific validity of this calculator is, you know, but they just use it. And I want to also know, like, how many appeals are filed on the assessed value of this assessor. That would kind of give you guys an idea what percentage of people are unhappy with this assessor. Who's just making people life miserable for no reason.
All right, I don't have any other questions. Gloria, you have anything?
No, I don't.
Okay. John, anything
else? I'm good, thank you.
Okay. All right, is there anything else from anybody? I think I understand the picture.
I have nothing, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You'll hear from us within 30 days. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the hearing.
This is the March 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 455 for property ID 10463600, and the property is owned by Nikolai Carr. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Gloria Matthews, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Mikola here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sure.
Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I understand. Thank you.
Okay. So go ahead and tell us what you want to.
Pretty much I explained in description, but since I bought it property and no any improvement was there, so basically as my understanding, everything is supposed to be taxed by as the you guys early talks change, which is every time when it's changed, it's going up, and it's fine. I understand that, but last I see it's 124% change. I understand it's like how much it's percent every year is changing, and I understand that, and I know this is how it's gonna be, but 120%. So I kind of, this is, was my concern, and like I see the other properties around the at the same equal amount as it used to be in 2023, and this is why I'm being kind of concerned. So I understand if it is 1% or 2%, maybe I understand, but since everybody is same price, same amount of money, but mine is so high. So that is why I question. Because the property is on the same circumstances as used to be, as I bought, and everything is same, restrictions and everything. So things.
Do you have any specific properties that you're seeing?
Sorry, could you say again? I didn't
hear you. Any specific property that you can point us to?
I do. Well, I'm talking about my property. Oh, when I'm looking the other properties?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like look my neighbors' properties, like all around the neighbors, and I see increasing of value of, you know, how much is increased every I look around like probably five of them all around, and the percentage increased since 2023 to 2024 this year. It doesn't change. This is why I ask with the same price. I'm okay if it is like 1% more, I'm fine. I understand. Maybe it's how it's supposed to be, but everybody's same. So all numbers are same on every properties in my neighborhood. So this is why I concern only. Yeah, because I the other years, year before that, every time when it was growing, was 8%, was 6%, and this is how it's going. And yeah, I understand that. But this year, yeah, nobody, it doesn't change.
The you own clear across the power line. Is that the power lines behind you?
Yes, I have a power line, and I have Elsa. I have on 60 feet. I have an easement at the upper front, and I have more than half property of easement of the Bonneville power line. Correct. Yeah, so this is always concerned. Sorry.
Why is it the properties next to you don't have that easement underneath the power line?
Why the property doesn't have easement where? Yeah, under power line, it's I guess the permit center, they call this easement, so you can't build anything up there. So it's kind of under power line, it should be, I think, 10 feet under power line, you can't do anything. And another easement, it's up front on the 60 feet. I don't know, it's probably future improvement for city improvement. There is an easement as well. It's not really mentioned on any document, but I asked the permit center there. They show me that.
So you have use of that land as long as you don't. The other people don't have use of that land, correct?
Other people, no, nobody used their land.
No, if I look at the map, it shows that your property has an east or extends underneath the power line, whereas the neighboring properties do not.
extend? Sorry, what do you mean? Oh. Yeah, but at the same time, my other neighbor, he has all this, what's on the right side, he has all this, it's about 2 acres under, yeah, on the right side, if you see on the right side, all this, no, if you go up, a little bit up, yep, and on the left, yeah, if you go up, now, one of these neighbors has all this power. He has same thing. It's called, his name is Sean. He's in the, if you go 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, this is with this trailer, 2 trailers, and the garage is touching as the garage is next to, after 2. Yep, this one. Yeah, I think that he paid for this property specifically. He doesn't pay. It's not taxable. All this property is not taxable. But he pay on his property. But this partial, as I understand, it's not taxable at all. So this is, I'm kind of.
Yeah. John Meadows owns that parcel.
Yeah. Oh, sir, you're unmuted. You're muted.
Okay. Go back to the subject property.
Yeah, so okay. The line is continued, and yeah, so basically my property is below what I can use.
All right.
And the easement is on a 60 feet. If you continue 60 feet, a little bit go down, it's an old easement too. It's not here. Yeah, this is street. There is a blue line. It's an easement too. This is a white blue, on the bottom. There is easement. Yeah, there is easement too. So this is why I concern my property is pretty much same size as my neighbor's over here. Yeah. And this is why when they increase their every year when they increase their property, I increase my and same amount.
I don't have any questions on it.
No, I'm okay. I got it. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 2 weeks. Within 30 days.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. I don't know why I said 2 weeks.
We were talking about... This is the March 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 429 for property ID 986058892. The property is owned by Blake and Jill Hugel. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Gloria Matthews, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Blake here for the appellants. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Yeah, sounds good. I don't have any other questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we just bought the property and we just got a permit to build a house on it. We have not started construction on the house. We started building an ag structure on there and we're still not complete with the ag structure. And so they'd come out and they'd increase the value like multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't remember what it was, which I thought was pretty substantial. The majority of the property is still in ag use trees, like 99.9% of it is still all in trees. And so I think the value went from like 200 and something dollars in taxes up to almost $3,000 in taxes. And we haven't even finished building the ag building or even started the house on it. And I don't have any value or anything that I haven't had an assessor come out or anything or tell me any value of it. But it felt like a pretty extreme jump. I could understand it going up, but not almost $300,000.
You're saying it's only 200. What, as of what date are you talking about? When did you start your construction?
We haven't started the house construction yet.
So what are they saying?
They're saying that the value of the house has got, our value of the property since we purchased it has gone up by 230 some thousand dollars. I don't know. I'll have to look it up real quick. And so I'm saying that they're overstating it drastically.
What had been done with the agricultural building?
I have the frame up and then I'm working on siding. I'm still working on siding to this day.
What kind of a structure and how big is it? What is it?
It's a steel structure, a used steel structure that I had laying around, and I put it up for ag use, so that I can go ahead.
And as of what date are you talking about?
I'm still currently working on it as of right now.
No, I know, but. Under new construction, yep. They value it as of July 31st of the year instead of January 1st.
So same day then, it's July 31st as well. It's still as it stands right now, it's an incomplete project, and same with when they valued it back in July.
When did you purchase this building that you have laying around?
I've had it for years. But I just began putting it up on this property. Does that make sense?
Was it someplace else? I mean, stored someplace else?
Yeah.
And looking at this, it shows that there was a purchase price on that property in 23 for $600,000.
Yeah.
Is that when you bought the whole property and all?
Yeah, that's when I purchased property, yeah.
And so it was just raw land at that point?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
On your... Am I looking at the right thing? On your appeal, you said he purchased it for $757.
That's what I'm wondering where he got that. I was just pulling back on the dates, trying to find my dates. I paid $757 in June. What, John? What date and amount did you have on there?
I show a sale in 2023 May at $600,000 was what was declared for excise tax.
No, I think that might be a different property. I don't know. I don't recognize those amounts. Do you guys, anybody else recognize those amounts?
I see $757 on June 2nd of 2021.
Yeah, that's what I have. Maybe, John, you have another paper?
Okay, because I've got the $757 on your stuff, but this other, but then I see that's a different, I'm one digit off, so I got a different property. Okay.
Okay, no problem.
So you think it's worth less than you paid for it?
I'm looking at the building value of $232,000.
We are not permitted to value separate pieces. We look at the total value of the property and then make a reasonable allocation between land and building.
Oh, interesting.
That's the way the law is written for the assessor also. The charter of the assessor is to value the property in total and make a reasonable allocation between land and building, land and improvements.
So potentially you're saying that it might be an arbitrary number?
Well, obviously it's an arbitrary number because that's not what you paid for it.
Yeah, but the value separation.
Well, it's not arbitrary. There is some reason for it. They have a system that which does a pretty decent job of valuing land by itself. So they use their land tables, and then whatever is the remainder after they valued the total property would put into the improvements.
Okay.
You know, unless there's something unusual about the land that wouldn't fit into the land tables.
Uh-huh.
So the land is something that they do a very good job of analyzing that for the whole county, and then put that value in, and then the remainder they would look at as being the value for the improvements. And if you put that building on the property as of July 31st, even though it wasn't totally completed, they would value that.
Okay. Yeah, because it looks like for 2023 and 2024, they actually didn't change the value very much at all of the land, $381,000 to $381,000. And then, on top of that, they just tacked the $232,000. Is that what you guys are seeing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do agree that it'll go up, but I just feel like they did it prematurely.
Well,
what do you guys feel?
If the building was there in pieces, they would put a value on it, yes. In other words, if you said you had this building, it was, I don't know, I'll call it a kit, if you will.
Yeah.
You had the building. Literally. And you had it late priced on the property, that would be attached to the value of the property.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'm still going to have to build my house this year, and so then they'll come back out in July again.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever you guys think, I just felt like it was a little premature.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Yep, me neither.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else?
Gloria, you have any concerns?
No, I have a good, overview of what's transpired here. Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, great. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Very good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Close the hearing.
This is the March 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 430 for property ID 116360000. The property is owned by Nikolai and Sylvia Lucescu. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Gloria Matthews, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Sylvia here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Why would I need to do that?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Actually, I want to know, is the assessor there right now? Which one of you is the assessor?
The assessor is not here.
He's not there?
No.
Well, I requested this so I can talk to the assessor and see how he came up with this value of the home. Isn't the assessor that makes the value of the home?
He is the person that sets the value of the home. That's correct.
Okay. Well, this home, this particular property has no home on it. So how did it come up with the value of the structure when there's no structure on it?
When was the house taken off of the property? You had a permit to tear it down or to remove it or whatever. When was taking off?
I applied for the permits back in 2023. I appealed my taxes back in 2023. They refused to take it down completely. At the time, they had the house, because of the condition, it collapsed. I sent them tons of pictures and I told them that this house will be coming down. I sent them the permit. I sent everything that I had to do. They refused to take it down completely. They put it as a storage, even though that was not supposed to happen. But because I was so sick at the time, I accepted it. I told them that the following year, the structure should not be on there anymore because the house is taken down. I called, I showed them there was a septic on the property. I showed them the commission of the septic. I showed them the permit that the house is taken down. I sent pictures that there's no house on the property, and I'm still being sent structure value.
How much did you put the septic in?
The septic was there when I bought the house 40 plus years ago. It was put in.
And it's still a valid septic?
I told you, it's decommissioned.
It's what?
How do you say it? Am I not saying it right?
Decommissioned? Is that what you said?
I think so. Isn't that how you pronounce it?
I just didn't hear what you said.
That's what I said.
So it's not a valid septic anymore?
Correct. There's no septic anymore. It was filled with sand.
And when was that done?
That was done back in 20... One sec. Yeah, this is it.
The environmental page on the GIS reflects that there's no septic.
Okay, so this, yeah, there's no septic.
But when was that?
6/5/2023.
Okay, and when was the house torn down?
Right here. Excuse me?
When was the house torn down?
The beginning of 2024.
So still there as of January 1st?
Uh,
Okay, here's the permit. The permit was pulled on 2023, and the house was taken down. No, the house was taken down towards the end of the year because we thought of burning the house, and we were going to give it to the fire department. And they, after going through all the hassle, they said that they're not going to be able to do it for another 6 months. So we decided to do it ourselves. So this was done a year ago.
But it was
more than a year ago.
It was before January 1st of 2024.
I believe so. Yes, that's why I appealed. When I appealed, I told them.
Okay, I have one other question. I'm looking at the file from the assessor's office with a picture, supposedly, of the property. And it shows that there's a 4 overhead door shop type building on that property. Is that correct? I mean,
is a barn. It's a barn. It's not a shop. The reason for that barn, there's a water well on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Did we get lost? There's a water well. That's it right there. There's a water well on the property. And when we bought the property, the neighbors, we let the neighbors use our water. And there's a water well. Because of that water well, in that barn that you guys see that we were going to take down, but we ended up having issues with the neighbor, is where the pump is for the water well. And that's what that is. That's not a house, and that's not livable, and there's nothing in it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I'm good with it.
I have the picture.
If you guys want some pictures, I have some too.
No. We've got it.
Okay.
I have no more questions. Gloria, anything?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the March 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 436 for property ID 18198941000. The property is owned by Kenneth and Linda Swift. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Gloria Matthews, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have both Linda and Lauren Swift here for the appellant. If you could please both raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right. Well, respectfully, has the board had an opportunity to review the Swift Property Development Feasibility and Financial Analysis Report in its entirety?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll just begin with a few points I would like to share, and then I will pass the phone over to my son. All right. So as per the attached 7/2024 Development Feasibility and Financial Analysis Report, the current assessed value of $830,000 overestimates the true development potential of the land. The potential post-developed lot total is significantly impacted by spatial constraints associated with the narrow configuration of the land, which is too narrow to accommodate more than one row of lots and upper tenant access roads. A max A maximum of only 14 lots could feasibly be created on our parcel. Local developers will not purchase our property for the current assessed value. The true appeal of our property to the developer market is significantly diminished due to development constraints and land configuration, evidenced further by previous offers to purchase by two local developers who were unwilling to pay more than $500,000 for our parcel. Okay. The valuation of our property to a developer is contingent on the projected gross valuation of the determinable finished lots. As per the development feasibility and financial analysis report, it would cost a total of $2,280,972 in order for the property to ultimately achieve a true and accurate shovel-ready developable status. Excuse me, one moment. $2,280,972 in developmental costs for a net return profit of $407,028 is not feasible and not most likely honored by the actual developer market respective to any purchase of the dividable shovel-ready lots our property can potentially fit if the property were to be used for such purposes. Prime developable land status is not applicable to our property, according to our engineer and his experience with the past and current developer market. Upon critical and comprehensive examination of the developability of our property, and after thorough consideration of the inherent and essential expectations of the developer market, this is made evident by the development feasibility and financial analysis report. Based on the evidence, we believe the classification of prime developable does not remain correct nor apply to our property, and that the properties utilized by the assessor's office that were previously assumed comparable or like based on their developability potential and truer assumed prime developability characteristics no longer are adequate or accurate for comparison to our properties in establishing a true market valuation. Therefore, we believe our property is not comparably developable to other prime developable land due to unique feasibility hindrances of development. Respectfully, we ask to please be removed from a prime development classification and be reclassified as a residence, which it has remained for over 37 years. All right, I'm going to give you to my son, Lauren.
Hey, hello. So, for my piece of the testimony here, I'd like to say our property's unique and specific layout in relation to current county developmental laws together yield a non-cost-effective and disproportionate cost-profit ratio in regards to the property's feasibility in serving as a profitable candidate for developmental purpose. Please see the feasibility study Swift Property Financial Analysis Assumptions and Returns. Because the land is not prime developable according to detailed expert analysis, including the consideration of the inherent and essential expectations of the current prospective developer market pertaining to both the purchasing and developing of our property, there is no observed evidence we recognize justifying the classification of our property as prime developable land to the extent to overcome our engineer's perspective provided within the objective evidence we have presented demonstrating a lack of practicality in regards to developing the land in a prime developable manner and according to prime developable characteristics and definition. Our evidence demonstrates that our property has been comprehensively evaluated and is significantly overestimated in valuation. Please see Feasibility Analysis Executive Summary, page 1-1. Our feasibility analysis demonstrates a market value of $500,000. The assessors selected varying comparable properties determined to be comparable to our property are based upon the assumption of these selected properties bearing factual similarity to our property, and also the incomplete consideration of the Swift property's unique characteristics and consequent developability hindrances and capabilities, as demonstrated by our evidence. Please see the entire feasibility study and also the provided written email correspondence accompanied by our evidence submission. We believe it is not reasonable to assume that a prospective developer would recognize and consider our property as a prime developable property and also pay the consequent valuation associated with its assumed prime developable land classification that has been established based upon incomplete consideration and contrary to an expert engineer's developmental feasibility study result, as we have submitted as evidence previously and here again. The profitability of developing our property that is verifiable by a cost-benefit analysis is essential to the purchasing and development of our property by any prospective developer and directly affects the likelihood of any prospective developer purchasing our property. When considering our property's highest and best and most likely use, a factually applicable prospective developer market is dependent on our property possessing a favorably proportionate potential for profit determined by a comprehensive cost-benefit analysis. A factually applicable prospective developer market seeking prime developable property is dependent upon a factually prime developable property that must be reflective and fulfilling in nature of its prime capabilities for developmental use and profit generation. In order to feasibly pay the cost of purchasing and developing a property which is being valued at a premium valuation. Therefore, we believe it is not reasonable to assume that our property is capable of being developed in a prime developable manner, as any prospective developer market is most likely dependent on a favorable cost-benefit analysis of a factually existent prime developable property that is truly reflective and fulfilling in nature of its prime capabilities and potential for developmental use and profit generation, in which our property does not possess due to unique hindrances and constraints. Determining the most likely use of our property is dependent on if there is most likely an existent prospective developer that finds the cost-to-benefit ratio favorably profitable, which we argue is most likely not applicable to our property. This is evident due to the results of our feasibility study and the determined cost-to-profit ratio within. This cost-benefit analysis must prove to be cost-effective, profitable in order to provide the feasible capability for a development to occur. Our comprehensively considered feasibility study demonstrates the results a prospective developer's financial cost analysis yields. This provided feasibility study concludes that our property possesses an unfavorable and disproportionate cost-to-profit ratio, thereby reinforcing the diminished likelihood of a prospective developer finding our property's disproportionate cost-to-profit ratio feasible, most likely, but instead significantly less profitable. See feasibility study Swift Property Financial Analysis Assumptions and Returns. A prospective developer is essential to successfully creating a prime development, and prime developable classification is contingent on a factual developer market. We believe it is also not reasonable that the property to assume that the property would most likely be used for a 14 shovel-ready lot residential development due to the results of the financial cost analysis performed by an expert engineer familiar with and serving the current developer market. Therefore, the development of our property is not necessarily most likely to occur due to the essential dependency of a willing prospective purchaser and developer. Here we have provided objective evidence in response to the subjective assumption of correctness made by the assessor in order to establish a factually based true valuation and classification of our property and its most likely highest and best use. We believe that the assessor's assumption of correctness is not sufficient to establish the most accurate valuation of our property. Due to incomplete consideration of factual evidence being presented here, we further demonstrate how the assessor has formed his assumption evaluation based on incomplete consideration of our property's developability limitations, such as the flag lot, the significant impact of the property's developability potential due to the narrow width of our property, and in addition, the essential development configuration relative to the associated ingress-egress requirement. Also, the financial viability of developing, including the disproportionate cost-profit margins, therefore affecting the viability of a feasible development, and also the likelihood of a prospective developer market. This provided evidence effectively and comprehensively demonstrates the limitations imposed that hinder a feasible developability potential of our property and exemplifies our property's incapability to most likely serve as a profitable investment for any prospective developer market interested in developing our property. Due to the time restraints of this hearing, please review and consider in its entirety the provided written email correspondence accompanied by our evidence submission, along with all other evidence provided, containing critically supportive details pertaining to our property. And that concludes my piece of the testimony.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. One is, you indicated that no one was willing to pay more than $500,000. Have you had offers at $500,000?
Actually, they were slightly under $500,000.
You did not include them in this submission?
They were verbal. They were not written.
Yes. Okay.
They were two prominent local developers. One of the developers has been a major construction, I think, on 119th Street cottages.
Hey, my other question is, you have attached tax appeal with the state, and this is for what year? Year 2022.
Yes, I realize it was old, but it correlated in the amount of $830,000, and I wondered, I mean, this is just a question of mine that I should get clarification to, but I wondered if the appraising just defaulted to that in this year's value.
Yes, sir.
Or, excuse me. Well, no, the appraiser of the assessor's office.
Okay.
And so I just included that. Also, we settled on that year because of time constraints. This important stability study results were just days available, you know, behind me accepting, or excuse me, ahead of me accepting that offer, but I was concerned if I didn't do something, you know, the taxes were getting so far behind that I just accepted the offer at that point in time.
And we also presented that as evidence to demonstrate the differential between the settlement amount that we agreed upon prior to submitting evidence to demonstrate our land was not prime developable land, and demonstrate how the valuation that was formed after the Board of Equalization justified our true valuation aligning with our feasibility study of $500,000. The following year, it had increased to $830,000 again, which would indicate that no modification was made or considered based on all of our evidence provided from the settlement amount.
Now, what are you, you've got 503 on your appeal. Is that the amount you're asking for at this time?
Yeah, we're asking for 503. 3,000 is for the mobile home and 500 for the land.
Got it. All right. I have no further questions. John? Gloria?
No, I don't have any. Good testimony and good information as far as I'm concerned. So.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Gloria, do you have any questions?
Nope, I'm good. Thanks.
Okay, great. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right, thank you.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Close the hearing.
This is the March 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 448 for property ID 207-361-000. The property is owned by Richard Van Riper. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Gloria Matthews, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Richard here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as to the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. One quick question before I turn it over to you. Did you get the notice from them that they have reduced the value to 974?
Yes, I did receive that.
Okay. So go ahead. I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal then.
In coming up with a different number, the county assessor has tried to use a method where they count the number of inspections by the building inspector, and based on the number of inspections, they come up with a percentage to apply to what the finished fair value of the home would be. That is problematic, in my opinion, for a couple of reasons. For one, there tend to be more inspections early on because those inspections are mainly for structure, primarily. So for example, I pulled down my inspection history last night from October 31st through March 17th. There were no inspections at all. My home is almost done. It's almost finished. I'm not quite there. My builder scheduled two inspections today, but they showed me a list of the inspections through July 31st, and there are many inspections. But like I said, they tend to occur more often during the first few months of the construction, as opposed to say the last 4 months. So in November, December, January, February, and through March 17th, not one inspection. Plus, the codes of Clark County are stringent enough that there are failures noted by the building inspector. Every time there's a failure, there has to be a re-inspection to see if the builder can make the corrections necessary to comply with the county codes. So again, every time there's a failure, there's a re-inspection. So using the number of inspection to come up with a percentage to apply to the ultimate finished fair value is not a fair process at all. In my process, I thought, well, why would someone, a buyer, be willing to pay more than my cost? So I went from May 1st, when the construction began, through July 31st, when it's my understanding houses under construction are valued, and I added up every single expenditure, including the sales taxes. I included everything, including my builder fee of $15,800 plus tax and the Port-A-John rental. I included every expense. I came up with $490,000. My method is accurate, and the county inspector or the assessor actually says they don't go inside the house. They don't even know what's going on inside of it. There was no sheetrock, no drywall anywhere in the house. There were open stud bays throughout the house on July 31st. There was no flooring outside of the plywood panel on the floor. There was no carpet. There was no wood floors. There was no tile. There was zero plumbing fixtures at that time. There was no cabinetry anywhere in the house, including the kitchen and bathrooms. There was no insulation in the walls. There were zero light fixtures installed. On the exterior walls, there were no siding at all. You just saw a membrane, a Tyvek membrane on the outside. And you'll see that in the photo that the county assessor has used. The garage floor in the home was bare ground, no concrete at all. The septic system wasn't even started yet. So all these various things had not even begun. And their first number they came up with was $717,183 for the value of the improvements. They came down, which I appreciate, down to $525,935, but it's not enough. I've seen houses bigger than mine that would sell for more money than mine, where in the first year of construction, when the home was under construction, the assessed valuation was much lower than mine, the number I came up with, the 490. So I'm saying their method of determining the assessed valuation is simply not fair, and it's not practical, and it makes no sense, because that percentage they came up with is just a number out of thin air.
Well, first of all, when they said they did it based on the permitting inspection history, they don't do it just on the number of inspections. They do it based on what is being inspected. So it's not, you know, just a raw number of inspections, first of all. Second of all, and you're talking about the same date, July 31st of 2024. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're saying there was no sheetrock in there whatsoever and no plumbing? The plumbing was roughed in.
No plumbing? You had the rough in the pipes. Yes, the pipes under the house, but no toilets, no sinks, no faucets, nothing. Okay.
The other statement you made, that no one would pay you more than you paid for. There would be a lot of people that would pay more for a finished house than they would for building it themselves, because they don't want to go through the hassle of doing it.
That's true. But understand something. If they were to inspect my house on July 31st, they would see all the work that needs to be done. And they say, well, if I pay X amount of dollars, how much more money do I have to spend to complete this house? And again, today, as I'm speaking today, we're at 10 months and 18 days of construction. And they were talking about valuing the property on July 31st, 3 months. We're now at 10 months and 18 days.
I'm sorry. What does that mean? What that means is
it's not likely with 3 months of construction out of 10 months and 18 days that it had $525,000 of value in that shell of a house after only 3 months, with 7 months and 18 days remaining of further work to be done. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Got it. So you're at this point, photo, go ahead, John.
Yeah, the photo that we have in the report, that I can't read the date down below there. But that looks like that was about in July of 24. So that the house is wrapped.
That's
the text stuff and on, but the interior was not going on very much. So they're showing, it looks to me like about a 55% completion is what the county had on it. Is that?
It was not halfway done. Absolutely, positively, not at 50%.
Okay. All right. That's... Okay. I don't have any other questions on it.
So at this point, you're arguing for another $30,000 or so?
As the county assessor has said, they were proposing an additional $35,600 plus of assessment. And I don't agree with that. Do not agree with that.
All right. I think I've got the picture.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't have any other questions.
I got it.
Okay. All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.